Okay.
In order to have a regional or provincial footprint, and we will do that in all the provinces. The idea is to have 9 such hubs and work with a variety of universities to support initiatives to also massify the skilling of people at the local level. And lastly, I think it's also about international training and development. We have to be on the front, on the cutting edge of developments, and international training and development is very important. Then the next slide deals with our SMME environment, and there are a number of targets there that we have to pursue in order to ensure that SMMEs are also brought into the terrain of a knowledge-based economy, new ways of doing business, and the use of also modern technologies like the social media, mobile technologies to support SMMEs in their operations, their business process engineering, and so on. So there will be a lot of focus on support to SMEs. The next slide, Strategic Goal 4, deals with our information society and development aspect of the work that we're doing. We talk a lot about information society, knowledge-based economy. The DLC has a particular focus on providing support to entities, to communities, also support to provincial governments to ensure that even at the provincial government and local government level, that people develop their strategies and initiatives within the context of building an inclusive information society and knowledge-based economy. And, of course, the Intergovernmental Relations Forum that we've established is in particular important in that regard. Goal 6 deals with SOEs, and as we have indicated the last time, that there is a particular strong focus on our state-owned enterprises in terms of collaboration, in terms of synergy, in terms of making sure that our SOE strategies are in alignment with the provincial government and with government priorities generally, so that we ensure that there's no overlap, there's no duplication, and that collectively the DOC and its SOEs can have an impact on growing the economy, on creating jobs, and providing the space for our people in the country to become part of the information society. So there's a strong focus, according to Goal 6.1, and also the next slide, Objective 6.2, where it specifically deals with issues relating to the oversight function of the Department of Communications. Goal 7, Honorable Chairperson, deals with our international focus in the department in both the MTSF and also the outcomes. There's also a strong focus on our international engagement, in particular with Africa. And that slide also then indicates that we have a lot of engagement with the SADC region, the SADC ICT structures, the African Union, and also our engagement with the NAPED ICT program. So we have this built into also to respond to the MTSF goals and the 12 outcomes that I've referred to earlier on. The next slide, our International Affairs Department deals with the South-South Bilateral Relations, IPSA, that is India and Brazil, South Africa initiative, where we play a very active role, but then also the South-South and the North-South. And I think the BRICS countries and initiative now is also very important to us and we're working hard to also make sure that we support initiatives there. Our next slide, again, is about our international, but this slide refers to the trade opportunities. I think we have to play a very role here in collaboration with the DTI and other departments to make sure that we also provide and build the environment and space for our ICT industries to become internationally active and to participate in the global economy. The last slide on international refers to our engagement with international multilateral initiatives around ITU, the UPU, Postal Union, UNESCO, UNECA, United Nations Economic Association, the OECD, the European Economic Cooperation Institution, and of course UNESCO. So in our international environment, we deal with a very complex global environment, and we need to make sure that we position ourselves properly for the benefit of the ICT sector in South Africa. Then our last goal, again, is a specific focus on our development of the information society. We have now, I think very importantly, developed a country information society readiness report, so we now know, and it will be released soon, we now know exactly where we stand in relation to global processes and global activities. The next slide deals with our internal mechanisms and arrangements in terms of how we build our internal capacity and in terms of our IT infrastructure. I think that we will have a very focused activity on building modern IT infrastructures in terms of using social media and so on in our work. Also to be a place where we can launch pilots in the use of ICTs. And of course, we have a strong focus now also on project management in our department, and of course, the realignment of our staff to support our new initiatives. Next, Chairperson, is just a very brief overview from the Acting DG for Finance to give us a sense of where we are with our financial situation the coming financial year. Sam?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Acting DG, and thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. We did present the financial information during our appearance previously for the MTF period. But basically what we wanted to highlight in today's presentation is just to give the committee a sense of the figures going forward with a specific focus on the financial year 11-12. Perhaps one thing that we need to indicate, Honorable Chair, to the committee is that the budget of the department has actually been trimmed from the previous financial year by about 300 million. That was from a figure of 2.1 billion to 1.8 billion. So basically, we're walking into the new financial year with a bit of a challenge in as far as the resources are concerned, because our budget is only about 1.8 billion, which is what I will just try and run the committee through. The 1.8 billion budget, 70% of it basically goes to the entities of the department, and those are SABC, NEMISA, ICASA, USAF, CENTEC, and USASA. Normally what happens, because these are baseline allocations, these entities normally they will get an opportunity during the course of the financial year to put in additional funding requests. over and above the baseline allocations. The remaining 30% of the budget mainly goes to the goods and services in the department. There is about six branches in the department, administration, policy, international, PNC, infrastructure, as well as finance. So the 30% is spent under this mainly five branches, whereas under the, or maybe under ICT enterprise development, I should have indicated that this is where the bulk of the transfers to the entities are housed. One thing that we also need to mention to the committee chair is that the key feature of the 10-11 budget is that the department has been allocated an additional funding from the National Treasury for broadband funding. I think it's for the first time that Treasury has made such a move. The figure is about, for 11-12, it's about 100 million. Going forward, for the other two financial years, the entire figure is about 450. So, in a nutshell, Honourable Chair, we approaching the new financial year with a bit of a constraint, and also bearing in mind that our entities, they did put through the MTF request last year, and they did not really secure because of the pressure on the fiscus. So I think this simply means that as a department, we will then begin to find creative ways of trying to deliver with the little that we have going forward. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Sam, for that overview. We then move to our human resource plan that we have. In outline here, our current structure and establishment, as you can see there, we have an approved structure of, at this point in time, of 465 posts. Posts filled are 303. We have 162 vacancies, and recruitment process is underway, and we do that in two phases. We have advertised for 21 critical posts. It will also give us the capacity in the second phase to interview and the 100 and odd posts that we have to advertise within this year still, and we hope that by August we will have most of our people on board. We're facing certain challenges in our HR environment at this point in time, and that is also the review is also responding to these challenges. Duplication and fragmentation of functions, you know, and this is, I think, normal in any environment, especially operating in a fast-changing environment like the ICT environment, overlapping and competing roles. We have staff additional to the establishment that we have to accommodate, and then we have that our current structure does not always fully support the new priorities stemming from our organizational strategy, so we have to build that into our planning the new environment. Our next slide deals then specifically with the processes of realignment, and I think that is a very important activity at this point in time for our department, with all our new focus areas that we need to make sure that we have a structure that follows function, and we in an advanced stage to deliver on this realignment process that will optimize and synchronize the execution of our main business activities. We will ensure that we cluster our programs in such a way that we do not overlap and duplicate within the department. That we make sure that our structure will deliver on our flagship programs and other key priorities, and also that we make sure that we have the capacity within the department to do a proper SOE oversight to have a proper SOE oversight role. Then just also to inform you that the department is in the process of consulting the reviewed organizational structure with the Minister of Public Service and Administration at this point in time, and we'll soon have an outcome in that regard. In terms of the department, how we get our staff on board, we use at the moment the normal routes, advertising in the media, the DPSA circular minute, and also headhunting when it's necessary. We do envisage also additional ways of getting the right people into our organization, identifying institutions to assist with the recognition of prior learning programs of empower employees, targeted recruitment, talent search at academic institutions, and also to offering of internships and learnerships. Lastly, as far as human resources are concerned, in terms of retention, succession, and career pathing, we adopting a process of mentoring, coaching programs, bursary programs to our staff. We will have climate and culture surveys to make sure that we proactively deal with interpersonal and human resource problems in the department. We encourage our staff to work on national and international projects and also other rewards. And I think what is also very important, the last bullet there, is that we need to also work with private companies so that we can have exchange programs. I think collaboration for a DOC is very important, and we have collaboration on all different levels with academia, the private sector, and other institutions. Before we conclude, Chairperson, next slide. I think at this point we also need to indicate to you that, you know, everything is not always plain sailing, that there are risks, but that we also gave a lot of thought in terms of the mitigating measures. And I think as long as we are aware of the risks, I think it's much easier to manage and to implement your programs and projects. Now, a first risk that we've identified under the cost-cutting organizational risks is actually the governance structures to support the Six Flags programs. Now, that can be a serious problem if we're not geared towards that, and what we're doing is to implement a structured project management environment. It will make sure that we have the right reports at the right time, but also important there is that we will establish a project performance evaluation panel that will be of senior executive staff in a department, but also independent staff from outside the department. It could even include members of the portfolio committee, the private sector, academia, to make sure that we have good input in terms of what we plan and what we have to implement. The adequate structured engagement with stakeholders is regarded as a risk, and of course we're in a process to identify our key stakeholders. The Minister already had a few roundtable discussions with stakeholders, and I think that we're also building now a very strong internal component to deal with our SOEs in terms of collaboration and the sharing of ideas and strategies. Another area that is, of course, a risk is it's our capacity, but we working very hard on prioritizing recruitment of posts so that we get all our people on board to support our programs and projects. Lack of appropriate skills in our environment, post-bank, digital migration, rural development, e-skills, project management, We are dealing with that in terms of establishing a proper project management environment in our department, and also in future making sure that we engage with also academia and other training institutions to deliver specific and dedicated training programs for staff in the DOC. Insufficient funding, of course, is also always a problem, but I think that we have a strong focus now on collaboration with other institutions, collaboration with the private sector, making sure that we also leverage on the jobs fund that's available. That is why we have this program on incentives for the ICT sector. The lack of data support of evidence-based policy making and project planning, we are in the process of establishing a data warehouse so we can have up-to-date and information on which we base our policy and policy development. If you look at program-specific risks, as far as our main flagship programs are concerned, DTT, there's a lack of project financial modeling for realistic project costing. We are appointing financial experts to deal with that at this point in time. The low uptake of digital broadcasting service and SDBs could be regarded as a risk. We will embark very soon on a vigorous awareness campaign in collaboration with stakeholders and other service providers. Job creation, that is, of course, we a focus in our department. It is difficult for a department like the DOC to create jobs directly, but that is why we have in our policy environment and other programs we deal with the issue of job creation in terms of creating the space and the environment for our private sector to develop, deliver jobs, but where we can as a department, we do that as well. The e-skills initiative, I think it's very important not only to deal with the e-skilling of people in our urban areas and established universities and institutions, but I think there's a serious program at the moment to also deal with the rural institutions where we can build partnerships to refocus and focus.